This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton. This is Turnbuckle Trash, brought to you by Dave's Voice Words. We have a brand new Radio Guy Reflections that's up also on most of the same platforms you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash on, with a guy named Randy Oxenbein. And Randy went from radio to working in satellite services for a major TV station in the Intermountain West and also for a major religion. So we'll have that on Radio Guy Reflections. But right now, we're going to talk about something on the complete other end of the spectrum, because it's time to talk professional wrestling with James Christopher Evans. How you doing, Mr. Chris?
It's a beautiful day here in Statesville, North Carolina. But the clouds are out and the thunder is starting to clap, but we've got a lot of other clapping to do, because WWE decided to clap on and clap off.
Oh, man, they're pretty good about doing that, aren't they?
Oh, they're always good about that. The main one that everybody is shaking their head about is probably Aleister Black and Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Their big releases were probably two of the biggest ones over this last round of releases. And then we're also, oh, by the way, before we get too started into that, I want to remind people we're going to do this part in kind of like three different segments here, because Chris and I are going to discuss some of the releases, and we're going to discuss Double or Nothing. And then we have an independent wrestler out of Florida named John Wagner that joins us on the telephone. We'll talk to him, and then we'll follow things up with, I guess, a little bit of a rant about wrestling fans, okay? We'll do that all coming up on Turnbuckle Trash. But, Chris, when you're talking about the most recent releases in the WWE, which started all kinds of rumors, I think Tommy End, Aleister Black, and Braun Strowman were probably the two biggest names that people are still talking about being free agents now after a 90-day, after their 90-day non-compete. What were your thinkings about those releases?
Well, with Aleister Black, I mean, he was just about to start a storyline with Big E on SmackDown, and then they go ahead and pull him out of the way. But Braun Strowman, I mean, he had so much potential and so much storylines that they could have done with him, and then they jerk him from under the rug. When I was hearing about the releases, I didn't think it would probably be Aleister Black. I mean, whoever decided to pull the plug on these two, I just don't know what they're thinking. Aleister Black was just now coming back and now getting a storyline going, and now you decide, oh, by the way, we just don't want you anymore. And with Braun Strowman, that makes no sense whatsoever. He was a very popular wrestler with the WWE, and you decide to jerk the rug under from him. Good job.
Good job. You know, maybe it was I'm playing the devil's advocate here. Maybe it was Braun Strowman had this huge contract, and you know, Vince has been known sometimes when he has huge contracts to say, "Nah, I don't think you're quite worth that." You know, you look at Bret the Hitman Hart; he had signed a huge contract back during the Monday Night Wars with WWE to stay, and then Vince reneged on that contract, and that's what led to the Montreal Screwjob, and then Bret Hart going to WCW. And all that mess. So, you know, what happened with Braun Strowman could have to do nothing but with financials. And then with Aleister Black, who the heck knows? I mean, what a great talent. I mean, I enjoyed the storylines when he would say, "Somebody come fight me." I thought that was a great storyline, but they just didn't do much with it. And they were just starting this thing with Big E, and now, And I don't know if you've heard the latest rumors that a lot of people at WWE, including office personnel that have a little bit of power, and then a lot of the wrestlers that have a little bit of power, are saying, "Hey, we got to re-sign this guy because he's a star in the making." I don't know who makes that final decision, but I would bet it's Vince. You know, that's just you know, an educated guess, but, you know, based on he is the power there. But what That's do you think true. About them rehiring somebody like Aleister Black?
Well, it makes sense to, you know, bring Aleister Black back to the WWE with the storyline with Big E, because now that's just a big question mark. How long, how far was this storyline going to run with Big E? But now we'll have no idea. But if they decide to bring him back, I mean, what could they do? I mean, could they still have the storyline with Big E? Could they bring it back up, regurgitate it? Very, very difficult to do. I mean, it's also been said that Braun had made out a statement that he is not going to wrestle for any other company because he only wanted to wrestle for the WWE.
More power to him.
More power to him. I hope and pray that that really comes to about, but when money talks, other people change their minds.
Yeah, when money talks, that can really happen. So, yes, you know, he might change his mind if Tony Khan comes up with a lot of money, but there's also saying that maybe he'll go on the guest circuit and show up at some promotion, get this exorbitant amount of money, and go back into powerlifting, you know, and competitions there. The difference between Braun 1 year ago and now, he's in a lot better shape. I mean, he's more defined, I guess you could say. On Monday Night Raw, when he would get his shirt torn off or take it off, you were going, holy, you know, this guy. He was always big and powerful, but, man, he looked great over the last 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting more built, and he was doing things with his body. He was looking more like a monster every day. But then the storylines were just getting, you know, weaker and weaker for Braun. But he did hold a championship for a long time, 1,192 days for the 60-man Royal Rumble in, what was it,
in Saudi Arabia, yeah.
Yep, that title is up in the air right now. Let's see who wants to go grab it.
Who wants to watch it?
Who wants to watch it? That's the big thing.
Not me. They haven't had a good show yet from Saudi Arabia. And I know that they had to cancel last year's because of the pandemic, but, oh, man, they've had some bad shows over there. It's just ridiculous. And Mansoor is now on Monday Night Raw. Remember, he was the one that won the first Battle Royal over in Saudi Arabia, because that's where he's from. I sometimes just scratch my head, but I'm not the money man. I'm not the man behind everything. And with all this, I mean, let's go with just a couple of other wrestlers. Lana, was released. Wow. She had a decent little run in the tag team recently. And then Buddy Murphy. What a talent to be wasted, just completely wasted.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, I hope of all these people we talked about so far, I want Aleister Black to succeed, and I want Buddy Murphy to succeed, because he put on some of the best matches that I had ever watched. I mean, he is a talent that they just didn't know what to do with him, because he wasn't. The WWE loves those big guys, you know. That's who they really like.
I really think that Buddy Murphy will probably end up in Impact more than likely, or Ring of Honor, or he could go over to New Japan. Right. There was a lot of people that were begging Braun Strowman to go to New Japan.
Oh, he would be huge. I mean, can you imagine as, you know, Bruiser Brody?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah.
Can you imagine that Braun Strowman went over there and even did remotely that type of character?
Yeah, the storyline for them could be, this is Bruiser Brody's son, and he's wanting to come back and rekindle the flames of the old days. But
that was Paul White when he went to WCW, and he was called the Giant, and he was supposed to be the son of Andre the Giant.
Of Andre the Giant. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to. I would love to see him go to New Japan. That would be awesome, right there. Aleister Black, I would like to see him go to. I think he'd go. You know, go to Ring of Honor. Yeah, it's a small company, but they don't do that much. But you know what? Ring of Honor would be a perfect hit, because them boys would have a good storyline together with him.
Oh yeah, they could. Yeah,
they could have a great storyline with them boys. But you know, and Buddy Murphy, like I said, Buddy Murphy could go anywhere. He could go. He could go to Impact. He could go to AEW. Who knows? But
or he might decide to go over back over to Europe and see what happens over
or
there.
Or he could go to the NWA. Uh-huh. I mean, a lot of people are going over to the NWA now.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. Or they could go to the CCW or something like that, uh-huh, because a lot of people are going to these independents.
And but they're Major asking League for Wrestling. A lot of
Major League, they could go anywhere they want to go. I'm not really shocked about the releases. Just those two were the ones that I just sat there and scratched my head when I was looking at the computer and thinking, why? This makes no sense.
Yeah, those two were the
about one. The contract, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I mean, you're looking at Braun Strowman, who I don't think has ever been used properly there. And then you're looking at Aleister Black, Tommy Ann, a lot of people know him as.
Mm-hmm.
I know they never really used him properly. He was such a huge star when he was with NXT, and we'll get into some NXT in just a little bit. But
okay,
you think about, and this happens all the time for people that start off in NXT, and then they move up, and it's looks like the creative doesn't look at what they did when they were in NXT and build upon it. Now, you've had other people like Asuka do very well, mm-hmm, and you've had some people get up there very well. But, I mean, you're looking at EC3 and some of these other people that were brought up, the AOP, they were just mm-hmm buried when they were brought up to the WWE main roster, and I just don't quite comprehend as to why. I really don't. So
it doesn't really make any sense, but that's just the why. We're the fans, and they're the experts up there. They know what they're doing. Yeah, right. because a lot of the fans are still, you know, mad at the WWE because they're not getting what they deserve. And I'm sorry, fans. You're not the ones with the money. You're not the ones that pay out these contracts. And the WWE has got to do what they've got to do. So I'm sorry for everybody that got released, but I'm sure that you're going to be well-to-do in your future endeavors. I keep hearing that Jiffy Lube continues to hire. So have at it. So have fun. Have fun.
But you can find a job for $15 an hour at McDonald's flipping burgers.
Flip burgers. Hey, yeah. That's how some of the actors and actresses and singers were found were at mm-hmm McDonald's flipping burgers. So be it.
And then one person who was released earlier this year has made it to the AEW roster, and that's Andrade.
Mm.
And he debuted last week, and I thought the reaction to Andrade coming out to the crowd was a little mixed.
Yes, it was.
They brought him out with Vicky Guerrero, and you know how I feel about Vicky. Mm-hmm. She's my lady. Oh, yeah. You know, I love Vicky Guerrero.
Yep.
I'm wondering when they do this, if they wouldn't be better off, instead of just bringing this guy out in his suit, to have him come out and attack somebody.
It would be better that way. I mean, instead of, you know, coming out in the suit and cutting a promo, why don't they have him, you know, if they have one of their major stars, like Darby Allin, doing a match, and then all of a sudden he just comes out of the tunnel and just whips the living daylights out of Darby, or beats John Moxley until he's bloody, and then he'll pick up the
microphone, and Vicky comes out, I would love that. I mean,
I got the perfect way to debut this man. Have him come out, beat the living daylights out of John Moxley, bust him open, grab him, grab the mic, look at the camera and say, "What about now, Vince?" And then throw it down and throw Moxley down and then just walk off.
That would be pretty good.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good. So,
that would be good.
Yeah. And now that we've talked a little bit about Andrade, let's talk a little bit about the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, which was on my birthday this year, is on Sunday, May the 30th. And my wife and I purchased that. And I'm telling you this because the pay-per-view right before this one, I said, I didn't know if $50 was worth it. This pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, was more than worth it. It was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Loved it.
What was your favorite matchup, one that just made you get out of your seat and wanting to, you know, just jump up and down?
I would have to say probably the Stadium Stampede.
Okay.
And then very closely was Kenny Omega, Orange Cassidy, I'm drawing a blank here about the other combatant. Pack.
Pack.
Mm-hmm. Those two matches alone were worth it. The Stadium Stampede had so many highlights, and it didn't have the, you know, kind of the lowlights like the first one did last year, which was good, but the Stadium Stampede had comedy, it had drama, it had your blood and guts that you seem to love so much, and it had good spots, high spots, for every competitor there. Everybody that was in either one of those factions had an opportunity to shine on that particular portion of the Stadium Stampede. I got to tell you, the funniest thing that I've seen in a long time that really made me laugh out loud was MJF and Chris Jericho fighting in the football offices of the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And then I go into an office and there is Urban Meyer, the head coach, and he had a strength coach in there with him, and they're battling in there, and Urban says something, I can't remember what was funny, but they go back, so there's still, you know, there's other little segments, and then they go to a segment with Jericho and MJF still in those main offices, and all of a sudden Jericho reaches, gets a megaphone, and is right in MJF's face, yelling at him, and MJF sells it so well jumping back. It was hilarious. And even Sammy Guevara, who I'm not a fan of, he had great spots in this thing too. I'm just not a fan of his. I know a lot of people are. He's just one of those competitors that I don't know if I'll ever come around to. Kind of like Matt Hardy. I've never been a Matt Hardy fan.
Yeah.
But man, it was incredibly good.
Well, the Stadium Stampede, I had learned some things about that the Stadium Stampede had already been filmed 4 days before the pay-per-view, which I don't give two rats butts about that.
I don't care.
I don't care either. I don't care. That's fine and dandy. It was filmed 4 days, and they had it all choreographed. Who doesn't know this?
All right.
And that's fine. That's fine. It was okay. The only problem I had with it is when the Inner Circle was rappelling down the scoreboard, I was hoping and praying that the cord that Jericho was on was not going to snap. Because every time he would come down, you could tell that cord was giving everything it had to hold on. I thought Jericho was about to bounce off when he went to jump once, and I just cringed because I could see that cord. But it was so funny to watch MJ's face. It's like, really? But it was good. I mean, the Stadium Stampede was a good match. I liked it. The Darby Allin Sting with Sting was good. Sting did some good stuff with that.
Oh, yeah. He
looked good for being that old. There were some bumps that he really didn't need to take that were not really necessary. But the old man was showing himself and the Undertaker. The Undertaker's probably watching, go, he's 60-something, and I am, and look what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Really? But this man, he looked in phenomenal shape. Darby Allin, please stop doing the stuff you do. You're only 20-something years old, and you're going to be in a wheelchair in about another week. But that boy has got some – he's a brave man. The championship match was good. Pockets was okay. And also with, Finger Bang Bang was okay as well. If you know who Finger Bang Bang is, you know who Finger Bang Bang is? And Pockets?
Mick Foley?
No, Finger Bang Bang is Kenny Omega, and Pockets is is freshly squeezed.
Oh.
That's with my little dog pockets.
Oh, okay. Okay. But, I don't know where that comes from, to be honest with you.
I can tell you where it comes from real quickly. It comes from Jim Jim Cornette.
Oh, who cares? I'm sorry.
Yes, I know. I know. But it's it was funny to watch. It's good. I think that Orange Cassidy is still feeling that concussion from the last match.
Yeah.
He just did not look, you know, all there. But
oh, man, he had some great high spots in that match, though, dude.
Oh, yes, he did. He had some great high spots.
Man, that was –
gosh.
I mean, for a three-way – that
yes,
was incredible.
Was
I loved that match.
Good.
And, well, I got to tell you this. You know, they were running all these specials,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
T-shirt specials. And
yeah,
I'm wearing my greatest of all time Chris Jericho right now.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like
and
that.
I also got one. What was my other one?
Sting.
Oh, yeah, I got the Sting one. Just his face.
Yep.
And then
oh,
my,
really?
Yeah. Oh, it's
nice.
Awesome. And then my wife nice. Bought one that if you're not a wrestling fan, you'll never get. And if you are a wrestling fan, you're probably going to look at it and go, what? Because you won't see the AEW. It's a white T-shirt
yep.
and a black
mm-hmm.
outline of an orange. And it says
yes.
color by number. And it has one right
like
in the middle
it.
Of it. And it's
like
orange.
That.
So it's an Orange Cassidy shirt. And we bought just and quality shirts. I got to tell you that. Good stuff. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
I bought some WWE. Well, my wife bought me some WWE. I got a Cactus Jack now, got another new Stone Cold. And, you know, I love my wrestling shirts, my wrestling T-shirts. But I also want to congratulate after all this is going on is Britt Baker, DDM. What a great match she had. And
oh,
now
she's.
Oh, you know what the weakest match of Double or Nothing was?
Mm-hmm.
Cody
Which
Rhodes.
Ones?
The Cody
oh,
Rhodes match
that.
Against the boxer.
It wasn't
bad.
No.
It just wasn't what I was really expecting, but it wasn't bad. And that is the thing. When you go back and you see Anthony Agogo against Cody
mm-hmm.
Rhodes, and you look at that, you say, that's a fine match. It was nothing wrong with it. And to
it
say
was
that was the weakest match on the entire card has got to mean something that this pay-per-view hit it out of the park. It was dang good.
It was. It was a breath of fresh air for pay-per-views. It was perfect. I don't really say that much about AEW, but I will say about this one, this was a good pay-per-view. I was surprised with it. All the matches on the card were good. Even slap thighs with the Young Bucks with the super kicks.
It was a fun match.
It was a fun match. Between them and it was Kenny Omega. It was not Kenny Omega. It was who was it? The championship was
which
the tag team champions were
against Moxley and Eddie Kingston.
Yes, that was good. That
it was
a good
match.
Match
it was fun to watch, man.
It was fun to watch, but yeah, Double or Nothing. It always comes through every time. Lovely, lovely. I didn't have any problems with Double or Nothing. Can't wait for their next pay-per-view. Hopefully it works out. And let's see who shows up. Now you have Mark Henry to show up at Double or Nothing, which was a shocker. Couldn't believe that Mark Henry shows up. But
yeah.
He's there for one purpose and one purpose only. He's there for a paycheck. You know what? Get your money. Get your money, save it back, and retire when it's your time.
Yeah, and he's insinuated that he will probably – like Paul White, get back in the ring occasionally, not
yes.
much, and but he will be the commentator on their Friday night show, which starts in the month of July on TNT,
yes.
and that's when, and this is what drives me crazy about some wrestling fans, that's when the main show will take to WTBS,
mm-hmm.
and that's in July also. And I just noticed it this past week when they are Wednesday night when they took the NBA took over TNT
mm-hmm.
and they're moving
yes.
To Friday nights for AEW. People getting on there saying, "Oh, let's bump the NBA." I'm saying, "Well, that's why the news came out not too long ago that it's going to be moving to TBS, so they don't have to do that." And
that's
then there
true.
Will be a Friday night show that will come on basically after SmackDown, And it'll only be 1 hour, but it will be a good quality show. And I think I even put it on our Facebook page that after over a year now that AEW has been, almost 2 years now, coming up in October, they have proven themselves to me that they are a success. Do they still have room to grow?
Big time.
Big time. They still have room to grow and to improve. Here's one of my major complaints about AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with the wrestlers. Nothing to do with storylines. It's technicalities. And this is your direction and your camera work. I think there was a couple of spots in the Young Bucks match where things happened outside of the ring that the commentators were probably watching their monitors couldn't see because it wasn't shown on TV. Very important parts of the match that were happening, part of the storyline, did not make it to the television broadcast because of, and whether it is poor direction, or know the exact storyline, how it's going to go. He should have, if they're going to do this right, and you know, I don't have much experience in TV, but I would think they would have a storyboard that says, this is the way it's going to happen. And then maybe have people monitoring different camera angles saying, hey, something's going on outside the ring. Maybe we need to switch here, to let the director make that final decision. But when something happens and a wrestler is supposed to be devastated by something that happens outside of the ring, and then you've got your commentators, Jim Ross and them, don't know it until, you know, 30 seconds after it happens, maybe a minute, that takes away from their product to me. That's my major complaint with AEW right now.
Oh, I agree full-heartedly what you just said. That is correct. That is correct.
Love that.
Very good. Love that.
So we've got that pay-per-view out of the way. We have a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. That's the streaming live on the Peacock Network. NXT TakeOver In Your House. And this one's shaping up. Oh, does this look sweet? And NXT, I don't know, in the last 2 to 3 years, and their takeovers or their pay-per-views have ever disappointed me. I mean, this one is good. You've got a five-way for the title with Karrion Kross. You've got Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, Gargano, all ring, and all great performers. Not good performers, great performers.
This is going to be a barn burner, a slobber knocker.
A slobber knocker.
This one's going to be to where you're going to have to you have to record this DVR, whatever. You're going to have to watch this over and over again because I see this as a just a barn burner, and I don't know who's going to win it. Probably Karrion Kross will retain the title, but I'm expecting Adam Cole, baby, and Karrion Kross just beating the living dog mess out of each other when this is all said and done.
And then you got to look at this. I mean, this has been one of my favorite storylines over the last couple of months. You've got L.A. Knight and Cameron Grimes having a ladder match for the million-dollar championship with Ted DiBiase part of the storyline. I have laughed. I have been taken back. I've just enjoyed it. And, I mean, as much as I love Cameron Grimes, I want to see L.A. Knight speak to you because that's a fact of life, you know? He's one of my favorites of all time.
It's perfect. I loved it. When they brought the million-dollar title back in, I tweeted that. I put it on our page. It's like the million-dollar championship is back. But that laugh,
Isn't it great?
I love it. I love that laugh. It brings you back to the good old days, but that laugh just makes it perfect. I'm loving how they're using Ted DiBiase in the storyline. That's perfect.
You know, I saw somebody on social media, they said, well, it's nice that you're helping get out of his financial difficulties. Give me a break. You know, it's storyline. If they're trying to help him out, more power to him. But so I'm enjoying it, you know.
So what?
Some of these people
You can't please everybody with social media is getting ridiculous. We can't go 5 minutes without somebody being offended.
Yeah.
My thing is this right here. If you're so offended, turn it off and don't come back.
That's right. So, I mean.
Don't come back.
I mean, I've come close to not watching Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know my feelings about that three-hour debacle. Yeah. But yep. They've had some decent storylines. RKO Bro with Riddle, who I'm not a big fan of, but he's doing this mm-hmm. particular role with Randy Orton. Randy Orton fantastically in the New Day.
Yeah.
I'm loving that storyline. And I like the Alexa Bliss storyline, which I don't think you like.
Well, the end of it wasn't the greatest in the world. I thought it was kind of comical, but it's getting better. There was something going on with somebody that put it on there. Could the WWE be getting a storyline going on with the tag team titles with Alexa Bliss and what's that doll's name?
Lily. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that they're going to probably get a storyline going with Lily and Alexa as the tag team, women's tag team champions. Who could Lily actually be? Let's say that the doll comes to life. Who could actually play Lily? I know of a perfect one right now. Well, she just beat the women's championship in a time match, and she beat Charlotte Flair in a time match. What's her name again? Nikki Cross. Mm-hmm. No,
I think they're finding, I think they're finding Nikki as being almost comical relief right now in the women's division.
Got you.
So I thought that maybe they would do that with Nikki becoming part of the Playhouse because mm-hmm. they had been, and that would have been fine with that. But I don't know if Nikki Cross could be Lily. I don't know that for a fact, but. You just never know. By the way, one of the shirts I got was a Firefly Funhouse shirt that had mm-hmm. Alexa and all the puppets with Bray Wyatt. Yeah, okay.
Nice.
You got to know I'm loving that. So,
gotcha.
Well, Chris, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be joined by John Wagner from Florida. He's an independent wrestler. He talks about trying to break into the business and some of the hardships of trying to break into the business during COVID-19. We're going to talk to John next, and then we'll come back. And we're going to talk about something that's been happening a lot on social media. And I'm going to kind of prove my point with a little bit of a rant. We're going to do that for you. John Wagner is next on Turnbuckle Trash.
That move on his feet, the Stray Cat. Is he ready? Oh. Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
You call that a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And now on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk to a trash head in Florida, and that is John Wagner. Welcome to Turnbuckle Trash, John. We appreciate you being with us today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, John, we connected over Facebook, and we have a couple of mutual friends like Tombstone Jesus, and I thought it would be kind of interesting to talk to another fan, somebody who's not only been a fan but actually been in the ring. You said that you have done a little bit of training, done a couple matches, helping set up. Let's talk about that in just a little bit, but right now I want to talk about. How and what brought you to become a fan of this great sport we call professional wrestling?
I just started watching it one day, and I just kind of got hooked on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Were you just were you watching it with family, friends, or just by yourself?
I was watching it with just my dad mostly, you know? And we started watching it right around, that's about maybe like five or so when I started watching it, four or five roughly.
Yeah. And was this in Florida or were you living someplace else then?
I was actually living up in, I'm originally from New York, so I was living up in New York at the time when I first started watching it.
Uh-huh. So this was, was it WWF, WWE at the time, or one of the smaller promotions?
WWF.
Okay.
It was WWF.
Okay, so you were about 5 years old, and you became a little bit of a fan. Who were some of the people that first you said, man, I just love to watch this guy in the ring, or girl in the ring, too. So who were some of your favorites early?
Like Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of my favorites. Undertaker was one of my favorites. The Rock was one of my favorites. You know, like all those kind of guys.
Uh-huh.
I liked, you know, Cactus Jack and Mick Foley. You know, like all those types of guys, you know?
Yeah. Did you have a chance to watch the Mick Foley biography that they did on A&E this past weekend? Did you watch that one yet?
Not yet. I've been meaning to watch it. I hadn't watched it yet, though.
You're going to love it. It is so good. So well done. I'm really enjoying this biography series, plus them going out and finding some of the treasures. So, John, let's talk a little bit as you grow older and you're watching wrestling with your dad. And what brought you to the fact that you really wanted to pursue the possibility of getting into the ring?
It was just one of those things. Like I felt like an instant connection to the business, you know, and I know it sounds crazy because I was only a kid at the time, but I felt like, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Nothing else would have mattered to me, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, like I didn't want to be like a cop or like a doctor or a firefighter, you know, not that I don't respect those occupations. It's just that that's not what I wanted. And what I wanted was to, you know, be a wrestler. And I saw it and it was like, you know, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I will agree with you there. So, John, let's talk about when you started doing some of your first training. Now, we were talking before we started recording that you had been doing some training. You've been involved a little bit, but you need to get some more training. What was your first training? Where was that at? And maybe what kind of experience you had there?
Well, the first training I had was I don't know if you heard of the Team Vision Dojo in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
That was my first real start into the training process for wrestling. I started in late 2013, and you know I had my first official match in February 2014. It was in a little battle royal there that we did.
And what promotion was that?
That was for the promotion that was attached to the school, which is called I Believe in Wrestling.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, have you, do you remember some of the names of the trainers you've had?
And the problem is one of the trainers has a kind of a shady or questionable background. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Who's that?
Have you heard of him? Jason Rance?
I think I've heard the name. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
he was one of the trainers. Remember Jesus Rodriguez and Ricardo Rodriguez?
Oh, I've heard of them. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he was there helping out a little bit too. And Aaron Epic's one of the trainers there. He helped out a lot too. And I actually had switched the training facilities late last year because I felt like I'd get better or take a better chance at it going to Pro Wrestling 2.0 run by Alex Porto.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about maybe, because I like talking to people about their first day of training when you first have to take so many bumps. I mean, you talk to people that are in the business. Now, I've never been in the ring. I've done some ringside announcing and that kind of thing, but I've never been in the ring. But I understand that first day of training is extremely difficult trying to learn how to take a bump without really hurting yourself. So did you get a little sore that day?
A little bit. I mean, I was kind of like, you know, taken aback by like how, I was taken aback by the bumps because I wasn't bumping properly though, you know, and I figured it out and after a while, though, you know, it takes time with anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I interviewed a man named the Enforcer, Marlon Bishop, about a year and a half ago. And Marlon Bishop is an athlete. I mean, he's played collegiate sports. He's played in the NFL. He's a bodybuilder. I mean, he is really built. And he told me that that first day, hitting those ropes, the ropes would hurt. And then he would talk about how when you were running the ropes, that it actually increased your speed and you almost fell on your face. Did you ever fall on your face running the ropes?
I honestly don't remember if I have or not. I don't think I have, but sometimes it's all about, like, you know, the, it all depends on, like, the positioning and, like, the impact of the, you know, what do you call it, the rope running.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes it could also be, like, you know, your momentum is carrying you forward, you know, sometimes it's something you can't really prevent.
Right. So yeah. What is your favorite, I mean, when you get into the ring, are you looking to have a singles match, tag team match? You said you were in a battle royal. What is your favorite type of performance?
Really just anything that they can give me. It's just like the thrill of being out there, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just getting your feet into the business and the independent scene. During 2020, what was it like trying to continue to train and continue to learn?
It was hard in trying to get up to training because, you know, a lot of, like I said, you know, the pandemic and a lot of things were, you know, closed. We had to, you know, keep distancing, which, I mean, you know, when that's hard to do when you're in a sport like this, when you have to train, you know. But it's just... It was just really hard to get up there, not to mention the fact that I've been helping to take care of my parents, too, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's a big, important thing right there. So I wanted to ask you, John, you're obviously a fan. You've been to probably some big events and some smaller events. Talk about maybe that first live show you went to as a fan. Do you remember that first show you went to?
It was a Raw when I was living in Connecticut.
Oh, so you went to a Monday Night Raw then. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And who did you see there?
Oh, it was the Raw before one of the WrestleManias. It was before WrestleMania 20, I think it was.
So you went to a go-home show, so it had to be kind of crazy, that, especially at the end when they're really setting up that pay-per-view. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, John, I wanted to ask you quickly, what are your plans now for the near future? How much more training? When do you start retraining? And where would you like to take this professional wrestling?
Well, hopefully I'd like to take it to definitely one of the bigger leagues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want to train a lot more so I can get to that that point, though, you know?
Yeah. So you're living in Florida right now. You've got, you've got the people in Jacksonville, AEW. Then you got all the stuff that's going on with the WWE and the training facilities. There's got to be a lot of other smaller promotions and smaller schools there that I don't know about because I'm out here in Utah and you're out there in Florida. What are some of the other smaller promotions in the state of Florida?
Well, actually, a couple of the ones I work for right now, one is Riot Pro Wrestling and one is Atomic Revolutionary Wrestling, and they're both great promotions
mm-hmm.
that I've worked for. There's quite a few. There's Full Impact Pro, Major League Wrestling, which they're headquartered in Florida, but they're almost at the, or not almost, but they're like at the AEW kind of level, you know?
Right, they are, yeah. I've been watching some of their older shows that they've been showing on Vice TV over the last few weeks, and they have some great talent there.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite opponent so far in the ring? It doesn't have to be somebody that everybody will recognize, but do you have somebody that when you're in the ring and you've worked with them, you have a little bit of a chemistry with?
That'd also be hard to say because I don't really want to, like, you know, humiliate anybody else.
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No. But I've had some good matches with a few good opponents that I've wrestled over and over again. But that would be hard to say, though.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of pretty decent matches, you know.
So, are there videos available of you in the ring? I mean, are there some on YouTube that you know about or anything like that?
There's a few of me on YouTube.
And how would we find those if we'd like to watch you in the ring?
There should be some through the one of the promotions I work for should be on their YouTube page. That would be under Atomic Revolutionary Wrestling, ARW.
Okay.
And you can check in with me from the last time I actually had a full official match on there was when I did a Battle Royal last year in February. Not February 2021, but 2020.
Uh-huh.
And there's me in there, you know.
Okay.
And there's also a match I did, a hardcore match, or, you know, kind of a handicap hardcore match or three-way, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And,
okay. And you go by John Wagner in the ring?
Well, I have on a couple of occasions, but I usually go by, I usually do, like, something creative, like, for the sake of Atomic Revolutionary Wrestling, I go by Johnny Atomic, just because, you know, I wanted to use that name, you know,
uh-huh.
Kind of make myself like the unofficial face of the promotion, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of like John Morrison did when he was Johnny Impact. What was Johnny's name in Lucha Underground? You know, every promotion
Johnny
except
Mundo.
Johnny Mundo. And then you know, it just seems like every promotion he's gone to, he's kind of adopted that that kind of name. But John, I appreciate you taking time to talk with us. Anything else people would like to know about John Wagner? Maybe some of your hobbies or some of the things that you enjoy doing outside of wrestling, and you know, because we all have lives, we all have things that we're doing, so.
Yeah.
What else do you do besides wrestling?
I'm also into martial arts too. I'm one step away from a black belt, so I'm a black belt candidate. And some of my hobbies include, I like to, you know, fish. I'm learning how to like cook and everything like that. You know, those are basically my basic hobbies. You know.
Well, you know, one of our co-hosts, Chris Evans. Is a martial artist extreme. I think he's like a 10th degree or something. Like that. He's been taking martial arts since he was like 5 years old, and he's using that now to open up a business in North Carolina where they're doing security for some several different businesses there. So one of our co-hosts will, you know, he'll just jump all over that. He'll like that. So you're taking care of your parents. Are they elderly? Are you just helping them out in Florida?
Yeah, actually, it's just my dad now. My mom passed a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man. That's always tough to go through that.
Yeah.
So you make sure you take care of your dad. You do your training, and I appreciate the things that you post on Facebook and some of the things we've kind of back and forth over the last couple of weeks, and it's been really good to get to know you, John. Once again, John Wagner, and you're in Florida. Talk about the promotions that you've worked for, and that, and so we can know how to find you. One more time, please.
Yeah, again, some of the promotions I've worked for include Riot Pro Wrestling, Atomic Revolutionary Wrestling. You know, it's kind of basically all over Central Florida. Basically, I've done a few shows for I Believe in Wrestling, and I was doing a few shows on and off for a couple other, you know, smaller, lesser known promotions. Like there was one called XWE, which was basically mostly like a lucha kind of promotion, but I did a show for them when they first started up. So.
Well, you know what? We believe in the independent wrestlers, and at Turnbuckle Trash, we always want to try to support independent wrestling as much as we can, because We have friends in Devotion Championship Wrestling and also in Dive Wrestling. Those are two local Utah promotions. And I just enjoy watching some of the you know, the guys that are still learning their craft. And I don't know how much you get a chance to watch some of the YouTube stuff on AEW, but Manny Smith is a friend of ours and has been on the program several times. He's been on the AEW Dark Evolution, I think, and Rekha Tahaka is a real talent, and Rekha is she's been on AEW several times, and we just have a lot of friends that we always wish the best, and we're going to include you on that. Keep us up to date with your training and the next time you're going to perform, okay?
I don't know karate, but I know karaza.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Once again, thanks to John Wagner in Florida. He listens to Turnbuckle Trash. We appreciate that. I had contacted him and said, man, you've got to be on the podcast with us. And he graciously accepted. And also, we wish your parents the best, John. We appreciate that you're taking care of them in Florida. So we wish you the best in trying to get back into training, getting back into the ring. We need to excuse Zane real quick because Zane is helping out a friend. I have been in contact with Zane. I do know that he possibly will be attending Devotion Championship Wrestling in Salt Lake City this weekend. And he hopefully is going to go with that. Rekha Tahaka is going to be there. And, you know, she's really done well with her showing on All Elite Wrestling Dark and those episodes she's been on there. And then Manny's been doing stuff with some Impact Wrestling and other promotions around the country. And then we also want to wish the best to Otto von Klutsch. Otto has had his final match. He is retiring from professional wrestling. His last match is going on this evening, the Thursday evening that we're recording this. And he's going to take on his dad, Tombstone Jesus, in their final match. And they've had a great feud over the last couple of years. And that's taking place in Las Vegas. And Otto, you know, it's going to be hard for you to completely turn away from professional wrestling. And if you decide to get back in the ring anytime, let us know, okay? Great guy, Otto von Klutsch. So now.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Go ahead.
You know, you get family obligations and things. You got to take care of money, you know. Take care
of
yourself.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
So recently, in this podcast, we talked about people that have been released by the WWE re-signing with All Elite Wrestling. Social media has some, I don't want to call them idiots. No, I do want to call them idiots, but I'll be nice. There are a lot of trolls out there, let's just say that, trying to get reactions. And then I'm sure there's quite a few that really do believe this, that when someone is fired from the WWE and they're rehired by another company, that this company is just trying to build a reputation with old talent from the WWE. You've read it. You've seen it.
Yep.
And I think we both even have said it. So I'm going to put myself as being an idiot, okay? But as Jackson Brown said in the song The Pretender, I'm going to be a happy idiot. Because I also realize this is a business, Chris.
Yes, it is. It's a business.
So let's talk about the WWE. Now, we're not going to talk about the WWE and the people they are releasing, but who they are stealing from other promotions.
Yep.
And then living off their reputation when they bring them to the WWE. Who am I talking about? I've got a list here that you will not believe of people who star. Did you hear the word star in the WWE? And they used to perform with Ring of Honor.
Yep.
ROH Wrestling. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Adam Pearce.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Adam Pearce.
Yep.
Adam Pearce, the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion and Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion.
Right. And then from 2010 to 2013, Shelton Benjamin, ROH.
Tag team champion with Charlie Haas.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, he had success before going to ROH and other
places. Oh, yes.
And he's a great, I still say, one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You also have Cesaro. He performed in ROH from 2005 to 2011. A lot of people he was good. Still
he
is.
He's a ring general with the ROH, always was. And then, guess where he went? Go ahead.
Was it something like called the SmackDown or became a tag team? Yeah. And I'm still part of the Cesaro section. That's one of my favorite stories with him.
Of course.
Daniel Bryan? Brian Danielson?
Yeah. Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So, I mean.
The American Dragon, yes. Go ahead.
American Dragon. We have others that. Charlie Haas, we talked about him. Jeff Hardy for quite a while as Jeff, our Will-O-The-Wisp, was in ROH.
Of course.
Matt Hardy was in ROH. Of course, they had a lot of success at the Hardy Boys before that. So that's neither here nor there.
Of course.
Yeah, then you have Tyler Black. Does that sound familiar?
Tyler Black. Yes.
Yeah.
Tyler Black was there. I mean, they've got all kinds of people from Ring of Honor. Good Lord, name them. I mean, keep going. There's more to go.
Yeah, of course, if you don't know who Tyler Black is, he's Seth Rollins. That's a fairly good-sized name there. He was in ROH, and they're, you know, of course, stealing from ROH to go to WWE. Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, yes. You also have people, let me just keep on going down the list here. Find some more that you might be surprised. Dominic Dijakovic. T-Bar.
Yep, T-Bar.
Starting to be a big star. Damian Priest. Rain. Yeah, he was there in ROH until just a couple of years ago. And so what is my point? It's a business, guys. And, you know, and now with IAEW starting to establish some of its stars, there's already been talk about people on social media saying, well, who's going to go from AEW to WWE and will they take him? MJF. There's a lot of rumors going around when his contract ends, he might go over to WWE. You know what I say about this? If it makes you money and makes you happy,
go for it.
Hey, you're not going to hear a complaint from me.
No, just go for it.
Yeah, just watch yourself so you're going to get buried like the NXT talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah, there's just so many that when people make that comment on social media, and then I got to complain here a little bit. I sent that list that I just went through on our Turnbuckle Trash podcast. I send it to an All Elite page, and they never printed it. They never posted it.
Of course
it.
Not.
And because I was trying to make that point that, people, they just need to lighten up sometimes,
Well, they don't want to hear that right there. They want to have their own version of everything, and people don't want to listen to the truth. They want to make up their own ways. And, guys, everybody has gone from company to company. And this is what the business is. It's like Major League Baseball. It's like football. People get tired. They don't get traded to the other companies, but they get tired, want to go someplace else or hone their craft again or get a new name or try something different. It's not because the WWE is not the greatest in the world, but they want to see if they can become they want to become stars someplace else so they can get more money. And some of these wrestlers, their time is up, and it's time to go out and teach these people. Come on, over yourself.
This kind of what we've just talked about reminds me, everything old is new again. It's kind of like going back to the territory days when someone would wrestle, not quite like territory, but someone would come into a territory for maybe a year and a half, and then move on to a different territory.
Yep.
And the promoters would basically trade to keep mm-hmm. their product fresh. Now,
yes.
one of the few people that ever just never really was traded around was Jerry the King Lawler. He was
nope.
that entrenched into the Memphis territory.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he also went into more success as a commentator and sometimes competitor in the WWE. So, but you would always, you know, Ric Flair would go into a territory for a week, 2 weeks sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and wrestle the top names and then move to someplace else. The Fabulous
yep.
Freebirds,
yep.
you know, they would go to Dallas for a year, then maybe to Memphis and then over to Atlanta before they wound up going up to the WWE. And by the way, who is going to be the host of In Your House on the Peacock Network Sunday?
Michael Hayes?
No, Doc Hendricks.
Oh, Doc Hendricks. Ooh, Doc.
Yeah,
Doc.
I was so when his face came back on the TV on NXT this week, I went, Michael P. And he says, Doc Hendricks, yeah. And I'm going,
yep.
You're always Michael PSA to
course.
Me. You know, the Fabulous Freebirds. As Ted DiBiase called him when he was calling himself Michael PSAs,
mm-hmm.
purely sexy, Ted
yep.
DiBiase called him the Prissy Sissy.
Dang. But before we get, I got one question for you. And now the hidden treasures and everything, there's going to be a special about Andre the Giant. I can't wait to watch this one.
Yeah,
it's going to
be
kind of fun to watch. Yeah. But the last biography with Bret the Hitman Hart, what did you think? Was it good for you?
I knew most of it. I knew
yeah.
a lot about it. You know, a lot of times when they do this, and this had to be, the biographies are co-produced with WWE, I think,
mm-hmm.
from
oh, yeah.
the AEW. I think it showed pretty much what happened with the Montreal Screwjob. I go
mm-hmm.
back and forth about whether Bret screwed Bret or not, but
yep.
when I say that Bret did screw Bret, like Vince said, he was asked to do business. He was paid to do business. But then
yes.
again, I can also flip it around and say, you know what? Bret had a little bit of a point because he didn't like Shawn Michaels.
Nope.
He was willing to drop the belt to Shawn Michaels, but he
mm-hmm.
didn't want to do it in his home country.
Yeah, it was understandable.
So what was your thoughts on the biography?
I liked it. Like I said, I knew about everything you did on it, and there's a lot of the biographies that A&E has done with the WWE that has been good. That one was good. Piper was okay. The other one that I really liked to watch was about the Warrior, but then when I really watched it, I was like, okay, I didn't know this part. And I was like, okay, this guy was a bona fide prick.
Yeah.
He was a bona fide prick. So,
but
I think
he aged, though, I think
mm-hmm.
his attitudes changed and
yep.
shouldn't. And, you know, I'm just going to say it, Chris. You and I, from time, right? I'm older
oh, yeah.
than you.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some thought processes when we were growing up
yeah.
that we do not share now.
No.
You know? And I think that's part of maturing. I think
mm-hmm.
that's part of education. And I think Jim, Ultimate Warrior, grew
yep.
up. He had harsh things happen. He had harsh things to say. But he started doing good.
Yeah,
and started trying to reverse some of the bad things he had done. I think the thing that really got to me was when they went to Jake the Snake Roberts. And they
mm-hmm.
talked about when the Warrior was put into the WWE Hall of Fame. And
mm-hmm.
Jake had this vendetta against Warrior and
oh,
said
yeah.
that he had a roll of quarters in his pocket and he was going to cold cock Warrior backstage because he had cost him literally thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, to millions of dollars by
yeah.
not doing work with him.
Well, that between him and Jake were, you know, that's just the way the business was. But also, you know, the Dark Side of the Ring has showed a part of, about Jake Roberts as well, which I haven't seen yet. You told me about it. I haven't seen it. That one I can't wait to see. I've been hearing about it constantly on, you know, the Jim Cornette Experience. I've been listening and reading about it, and I can't believe half of what I saw. But if you notice that when they were doing the Hidden Treasures with Jake Roberts, that he kept bringing in one person's name that he wants to basically kill him, is the Honky Tonk Man, right? Because he blames the Honky Tonk Man for his drug addiction. Well, this week the Honky Tonk Man has come out on a tweet and said, of all the guitar shots that I have done, I've never put anybody on drug addiction after those. You did that yourself, so you're your own man. Could that be true? I don't remember a guitar shot putting anybody in drug addiction, but I will say this. When I saw the guitar shot from the Honky Tonk Man to Jake Roberts that night, I could see where Jake has his dilemmas and why he's mad.
Yeah, hit him on the shoulder, then it hit him on the head, and he was supposed to go on the back. But you did say, you know, you got to make your own decisions, and Jake has changed a lot over the years. But if you watch The Dark Side of the Ring, and you watch how Jake was raised by Grizzly Smith, who has got to be one of the scuzziest individuals in the business ever. Yeah. And I base this on reading some things about him and watching Dark Side of the Ring, and then finding out he's basically a pedophile. Mm-hmm. And how he treated his family. And I try not to judge.
I know.
But it is hard not to when you see the pain in his son's eyes, Jake the Snake, and they go to the daughter, Robin, Rockin' Robin, and you look in their eyes and you can see the hurt that their father caused. And you can almost understand why the addiction started. Although,
of course,
you know, we've all had rough lives. Mm-hmm. We've all had terrible things happen to us.
Of course.
Not everybody's going to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake did. Yep. But he's been clean. And then I'm going to go to the other side of the spectrum here. There's a scene, and I'm not trying to ruin everything for you, but towards the end of Dark Side of the Ring, when that complete opposite look in the eye of Jake the Snake, he says, I have been clean for 10 years.
Yeah.
And the exuberation on his face that he could say he's been clean and sober for 10 years. And nothing but love and respect, my man. Nothing but love and respect.
Of course. I'm happy for Jake, and that's great. He owes a lot of time to DDP as well, because I mean, that man, without Diamond Dallas Page, that man should have been already be in the grave
exactly
by now.
Yeah,
he should already be in the grave.
And then DDP also helping out Razor Ramon, although that's been kind of mixed results there with him. So,
well, that man can't be. I'm sorry, I'll say this, and I may be wrong, but sometimes the demons are so strong that nothing can help you. If the demons keep talking, they'll always take over no matter what. And his are too much to control.
Yeah.
But that's just Scott Hall. He made his bed, and all respect to Scott Hall, but it happens. What can you do? So, but that was a great podcast, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and puppy dogs. Like some people always say.
Yep.
but another Dark Side of the Ring is coming up, and another AE biography is coming up, and this should be interesting. The biographies are good. You just sit there, but sometimes you got to wonder, is what they're really saying true, or they just want to, you know, coat this? Are they trying to bring their own reality to it? So who knows? Who knows?
I'll remind you of this.
Uh-huh.
There's always two sides to every
story. I hope they do one on Jerry the King Lawler. Love to see it.
Oh, I would
love
too.
To see it.
Love to see that. And, you know, Jerry's still getting back in the ring. There's in Jackson, I think it is going to be soon. He's going to be
taking on Rhino.
Yeah. So
yes. Why in the world would you? But okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you get speared by that one. You've been speared. So
you're done.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on this edition.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get you back on with our other partner Zane, and we hope you get to go to DCW. And I plan to go in July. Oh, we forgot to mention one other thing. Mm-hmm. SummerSlam, Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
The rumors, there's two rumors going around about the main event. They both involve Roman Reigns.
Oh, yes.
Is it going to be John Cena, or is it going to be Lesnar?
I want Jey Uso, no. I'd rather see Jey Uso or Jimmy or whatever. Which one?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's a good storyline. Yep. Yeah. It's a good storyline. It's probably going to be Cena more than likely. But my question is, he'll come back as a heel right off the bat because of all the BS that's been going on with Cena, thanks to bending over for China. So I don't know.
Some of those memes with him, like Mao Zedong and stuff, they're absolutely perfect. So anyway, that's
cool. They are. I love it. All right. Well, that was a great podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to be time for me to hit the hay because I got to get up in the morning and do it all over again.
I'm retired. So. I'm retired.
I'll never see that. No.
So. Well, you take care of yourself, Chris.
All right. We will talk to y'all later. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Mm-hmm.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
WWE decided to clap on and clap off.
But you can find a job for $15 an hour at McDonald's flipping burgers.
Grab him, grab the mic, look at the camera, say, what about now, Vince? Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
You know, wow, this is the coolest thing ever.
Correct.
Comes from Jim Cornette.
Oh, who cares? I'm sorry.
Yes,
hit it out of the park. It was dang good. Well, tell us, pray tell.
Oh, Doc Hendricks. Ooh, Doc.
Is it going to be John Cena, or is it going to be Lesnar?